Welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. Today we'll be discussing the manuscript entitled Empagliflozin, Cardiovascular Outcomes and Mortality in Type 2 Diabetes, also known as the EMPA-REG study, which was published in the New England Journal of Medicine in September 2015. Joining us today is Amanda Shardle Lasota, who is on faculty at the University of Maryland School of Pharmacy and practices at the University of Maryland Baltimore-Washington Medical Center. Dr. Shardle Lasota wrote a commentary regarding the EMPA-REG study for iFormRx. Amanda, thanks for joining us for the iFormRx podcast today and sharing with us your thoughts regarding this landmark clinical trial.
Thanks for having me, Stuart.
So my first question, if you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less the EMPA-REG study to someone who hasn't read the paper, what would you say?
Sure. So this was a large multi-center study in which patients with type 2 diabetes at high risk for cardiovascular disease were randomized to receive either empagliflozin at doses of 10 or 25 milligrams or placebo. The primary outcome of the study was a composite endpoint of death from cardiovascular causes, non-fatal MI, or non-fatal stroke. What the authors found after about 3 years of treatment and follow-up was actually a significant reduction in the occurrence of the primary outcome in those treated with empagliflozin compared to those treated with placebo, as well as a significant reduction in rates of all-cause mortality, cardiovascular death, and hospitalizations for heart failure. It's important to note, though, that the study found no significant difference in the rates of MI or stroke, but they did find a minor numerical increase in the rate of strokes for those treated with empagliflozin.
So in critically examining the study methodology, Amanda, what would you say are the major strengths, potential weaknesses, and limitations of the EMPA-REG study?
Well, one of the strengths of the study was certainly the trial design. Patients were randomized and stratified based on some key characteristics, such as baseline A1C, BMI, renal function, and geographical location. Additionally, this study was double-blinded, placebo-controlled, and it used both doses of empagliflozin that we see in practice. The study also included large numbers of patients, a little over about 2,300 patients in each of the empagliflozin groups and the placebo group. Another major strength of the study was the fact that investigators were allowed to use guideline-driven therapies to control for other cardiovascular risk factors. This allowed the study to mimic what would actually happen in practice and ensured that the benefits seen were due to empagliflozin and not from a lack of controlling other cardiovascular risk factors. The major limitation that I see in this study was the racial and gender makeup of the patient population. So while the baseline characteristics among the groups were similar, the majority of the patients in the study were white men. So this is in contrast to what we know about the prevalence of diabetes in the United States. We see higher rates of diabetes in minority groups, such as African Americans, Hispanics, and Native Americans, in comparison to Caucasians. Furthermore, the rates of diabetes are relatively similar between men and women. So this fact somewhat limits the generalizability of the study results.
So, given the favorable results observed in EMPA-REG, in particular, the significant reduction in all-cause mortality with a number needed to treat of 39, do you think empagliflozin should become the preferred add-on therapy in patients who are taking metformin? And do you think we can reasonably assume that we'd get the same results with other SGLT2 inhibitors currently available, canagliflozin and dapagliflozin?
Well, I believe that the high-quality design of the EMPA-REG study and its positive results have set empagliflozin apart from other diabetes medications, enough so that I think it should now be the preferred add-on agent in patients already taking metformin. So given that patients with diabetes are about twice as likely as healthy individuals to experience cardiovascular events or cardiovascular death, it's crucial that we do everything we can to stack the deck in the patient's favor, which includes using medications shown to reduce the risk of cardiovascular events. In addition to the cardiovascular benefits, empagliflozin is also a good choice for preferred add-on therapy, given that it's well-tolerated. So we know it leads to weight loss and a mild reduction in blood pressure, and it has no risk of hypoglycemia. It also has minimal adverse effects aside from genital infections and UTIs. Since this is the only study showing a positive cardiovascular benefit with an SGLT2 inhibitor, I am a little hesitant to extrapolate these results to the whole class of medication. However, the CANVAS study is a currently ongoing trial that's similar to EMPA-REG, evaluating the effect canagliflozin has on cardiovascular outcomes. I think the results of this study are going to help us clarify whether the results seen with empagliflozin were specific to that agent or if it's a class-related effect.
So I want you to imagine you have a 59-year-old male patient who's currently taking metformin and a DPP-4 inhibitor, a very common combination we see in practice. And he's typical. He's overweight with a BMI of 32. He's struggled most of his life with his weight. His glycemic control is pretty good. He has an A1C of 6.7%. And he's taking all, quote, the right medications, including an ACE inhibitor, a statin, and low-dose aspirin. The patient comes to clinic for a routine follow-up. Would you recommend that this patient switch the DPP-4 to an SGLT2 inhibitor? And given the potential life-saving benefits of empagliflozin, would you proactively discuss a regimen change with this patient now, or would you wait? For example, would you wait until the patient asks about the treatment alternatives, or would you wait until his A1C begins to creep up, or perhaps wait until a second study confirms the mortality benefit seen in EMPA-REG?
Well, I think this is certainly a case where the patient could benefit from empagliflozin. So while his A1C is well controlled, we know that tight glycemic control in patients with type 2 diabetes hasn't necessarily been shown to reduce the risk of cardiovascular events. So using empagliflozin could independently reduce his risk of cardiovascular events. Furthermore, the A1C lowering potential of SGLT2 inhibitors is similar to that of DPP-4 inhibitors, and SGLT2 inhibitors have been shown to cause more weight loss than the DPP-4s. Weight loss is particularly important for this patient, given that being overweight or obese can also increase the risk of cardiovascular events in patients with diabetes. Switching this patient from a DPP-4 inhibitor to empagliflozin should help him lose more weight while providing that similar control of his blood sugars and giving him the added protection against the cardiovascular events. Given the convincing results of the EMPA-REG study and the other added benefits of switching this patient to empagliflozin, this is certainly a recommendation that I'd like to discuss with him now. I think the longer that we wait to make this recommendation, really the greater likelihood that the patient is to have a cardiovascular event.
Well, Amanda, I want to thank you for joining us on the iFormRx podcast and reviewing the EMPA-REG study. It's clear from your comments that you believe EMPA-REG is a game changer and changes the way we would manage patients with type 2 diabetes by being the first add-on therapy to metformin. The data is that convincing. Will you be adding empagliflozin to your patients' treatment regimens in order to achieve the cardiovascular benefits seen in this study, or will you be waiting? Post a comment. Until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFormRx, signing off.